Today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph, and we're holding the fifth line from the top of the Yamid where the Gemara begins, Tanur Rabbanan. HaKoyrei Posuk Shel Shir HaShirim. A person is leaning from a posuk of a Shir HaShirim. Va'oysa oysoi kimin zemer. And he makes it like a song. What does it mean he makes it like a song? Says Rashi, he does not sing it in accordance with the normal negina, the normal trop that you would go and lain the Shir HaShirim, but rather he makes it into a regular song. Even though what he's doing would not seem to be improper, it's no good. Why is it no good? We'll see in another moment. And similarly says the Braisa, person who starts singing psukim beis mishtois, like in a bar or like in a party, blizmanai, when it's not appropriate. What does that mean? We'll see in a moment. Maybe roli oilam, it's no good. Everything, of course, has its time and its place. When you're going to go and sing songs from the Torah, from Sukkim, but you're not going to sing it with an ernstkeit, with a sincerity, and because you want to be praising a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but you're doing it to have a good time, for amusement, that becomes very problematic. So we'll see the two Rashis here on the right-hand side. The Rashi begins 6-7 lines on the top. He doesn't lane it with the normal trop. He makes it into a song. Even though it's Shir HaShirim, the Ikra Shir, and the Shir HaShirim by definition is the song of songs. Also, La Soisoi Kimin Shir, Elab Kriyasa. You can't go stam in the Velterein, start singing from Shir HaShirim, a posik, by adapting it to a particular nigin, which is not the real trop, which is supposed to lay. And similarly, Hakoyde Posik Beis Mishtoi is Blaiz Manai. Bemesiv Al Yenoi. He is drinking at his Mishta. Oise Shchikoisav Bedivre Torah. The word Shchikoisav means, actually, it should be sichikoisav, that he makes amusement out of it. The kodesh psukim b'kol ram, v'sachik behem b'nei amishta, and he calls it out, and he wants to go and amuse everybody at the bar or at this party. Avlim oimer b'zmanei al amishta, k'goin shu yontif, v'noitel kois b'yodah, v'oimer olav divrei hagoda, u'psukim inyonei shol yoim. That's maybe toivel oilam. So everything has its time and its place. If you're talking about psukim from the Torah, even though it's a Beis HaMishta, but if it's a Yontav Dika Beis HaMishta, or it's Oynik Shabbos type of thing, and you're holding on to a kos, and you're saying, Rabbi Yisai, let's go and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's go and say a vort from the Pasuk, from the Sedra, from Shir HaShirim, or from somewhere else, and it's Minyana Shul Yom, and it's appropriate for you to do that. That's a wonderful thing, maybe Tov Liyad. Agmar is only talking about Beloiz Manoi, when you are saying Psukim in a and somewhat of a hostile type of situation, meaning you're not singing it either according to its normal trop, or you're singing it for amusement. Everybody, let's go and sing together. If what's below his manai, that may be rolling oilam. Back to the imam, because the Torah Kadosh, it's as if he puts on a sackcloth. Your children have made me kekinor shemenagim by leitzim, just to make me into a lute or into a harp that leitzim are using. A letz, of course, means a letz. Everybody knows what a letz is. But a joker's, oh, very good. Clowns. Oh.
Slow eglet tzadikim.
Exactly. See, you don't want to go and quote psukim in that type of environment, that type of atmosphere, etc. It's omalah biti b'shosha oichlim b'shoisin. So now, who is the one that was complaining over here? The Torah was complaining. So now the Rebbeinu Shlom says back to the Torah, no, so what should we do? What are people expected to do when they're sitting together at the Beis Mishta? Very simple. They should talk and learning. In Bali Mikrahein, if they happen to be people that are proficient in Tanakh, in the Chumash, you ask them a Torah, let them go and repeat over Psukim from those Psukim, from the Tanakh, and explain it, and say a nice pshat. In Bali Mishnah, if they're already one step higher that they're learning Mishnah, Yaskub at Mishnah, Balochas Vagodois. In Bali Talmud, if they learn Gemara, Yaskub at Hilchis Pesach, but Pesach, Belchus at Seres, Vatseres, Hilchis Chag Bechag. So therefore, there's plenty to talk about at a Beis Mishnah or on Yontif. You don't have to try to amuse people by taking psukim out of context and singing them with other nigunim, etc.
How about all these singers?
You know? In fact, it's interesting you ask, because Rav Moshe and other contemporary poskim have shaylus about the fact that they use lots of psukim from the Torah, and they sing them, for instance, by chasanis or by sheva brachas, etc. And when they quote psukim, they're certainly not quoting them with the nagina, with the drop. So it's a little bit like our Gemara says. So if in fact you're doing it by a sudas mitzvah, whether it's a chasan or a sheva brachas, a siyam, etc., that's one thing. That would be permissible. But if you're doing it stam during the week where everybody's getting together for a party, okay, let's start singing a niggin from the Torah, that becomes far more problematic.
Concert, for instance?
There are those that hold you're not supposed to go to a concert. That's besides our Gemara, besides based on that you're not supposed to go to Tatirois and Karkisois, like the Gentiles, that they get together in theaters and in movie houses, etc. Even if what they're saying is not profane or anything of that nature, even if it's positive, not negative, there's a very strong
shaykh. Isn't there a general rule that ever since the destruction of the temple, we're not supposed to listen to music in general? Or?
What you're saying is correct, and that's also dealt with by Rav Moshe and others in their Tshuvah Svarim. And the question is, it has to be live music, or can it even be recorded music? Is it people singing, or is it musical instruments? There are a lot of minutiae that go into these shaylas.
The actual Britain, Yad Ramah suggests that the prohibition applies only if one sings the verses for his own enjoyment. Now, if one's intent is to praise Hashem with a song, perhaps using one's own melody is permitted. But that's talking about using. But I know that the concerts that I attend, it's really almost a tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
if it's Kalbach, I'm sure it's 1,000% fine.
It needs to be lassi.
Ah, exactly. It's another form of being mispalter by Nishlam. Shkoyach. Halavai. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, and halavai, they should also make some shidduchim, and then Ariel won't have to read from Dr. Susie every week, because it'll already be all accomplished.
Ariel will be number one on the next.
It goes without saying. And so we continue on. Hayit Reb Shimon ben Elozim, Shimon Reb Shimon ben Chananya, kol ha-koyre posik bizmanoi, maybe tovali oylam. If it's the other way around, before we were talking about that he says a posik shaloi bizmanai. Rashi said at the end, but if he says a bizmanai, that he adds divri hagoda psukim in yonah shaloyim, that's maybe tovim tzakutzach. So in fact, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's a good thing to go and sing psukim and then use that as the base to expand and to expound on the parsha of the week and to say rabbi shaloyim, well, we thank you, etc., etc. So maybe tovim oylam shenemo v'dover beitay ma tov. What's appropriate at that time in terms of what he's saying, what he's singing, that's a good tzach. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haloichish al hamaka, a person who's loichish. Loichish from Loshen lachash, which means to say an incantation. And then the Mishnah, in fact, brings the famous pasuk in the Torah. It's called Hamachlo Asher Samtim Mitzayim Yosem Malacha Ki Ani Hashem Roichecha. Back on the Tzadik Omer Aleph, three, four lines on the bottom of the Mishnah there. Three, four lines into the new perek. Haloichish al hamaka, the oimer kol hamachla asher samti mitzrayim liyosem alecha. Any sickness that I put in Mitzrayim, I'm not going to put on you. Kani Hashem reifecha. So if he says that, guess what? He becomes one of those people she'ein lehem chelik li oylem haba. So we have to understand, what do these words really mean? So Om Rabbi Yochanan, you know when ein lechelik li haba uberoikik ba lefishein makirin shem shemayim al harakika, which means, Rashi explains, when those people used to say the lachash, what they first would do is they would spit out. It doesn't say exactly what they would spit out. Perhaps they would spit out. Again, we're talking about aloicha shalamaka. So somebody has some sort of wound. So it could be that they spit on the maka, figuring that was some sort of medicine, yeah. Or it could be they just spit out on the ground. But whatever it was, after they made the rakika, then they used to go and say the pasuk, especially the pasuk that we quote in the Mishnah, Kalamach Rishtav Nishayim, Ki Hani Hashem Roif Echa. So you're now being masked, Hashem Shemayim, al harakika, which is no good. This, by the way, is one in Shulchan Aruch too.
An aleinu? Didn't they shame?
Other than aleinu, throughout the entire tefillah, if anybody ever has to be roikik, it says he should be roikik, but then he should wait a minute before he goes and continues davening, or he should be roikik outside or inside a spittoon and move away at tefach or two. So he shouldn't be, when he continues the davening, there should not be any correlation between the spitting and between the davening thereafter. Otherwise, it sounds like you're moiti shem shemaim al harakika. You've just spit and now you're going to say Hashem's name. It is very disrespectful. So this is what they used to do by the Makkah. So the problem is not the loichish al Makkah. The problem is the loichish al harakika, and after that you say a posik with a shem shemaim. That's how Rabbi Yochanan learns. However, we have a three-way machloikis. Itmar Rav Omer Afilin Neged Tzaras. What means Afilin Neged Tzaras? Rashi says, even if he doesn't say the posik, Kolamachla Shetam Detayim, Ki Ani Hashem Reifecha, but he says a posik where the posik does relate to illnesses, to a Neged Tzaras, however, it does not contain the Shem Shemayim. For instance, Rashi says, if it says in the posik, Neged Tzaras Ki Siya Bi Odom Vehuva El Hakoyim. Now this pasuk is talking about the machla of the teras, but it doesn't mention in any way, shape, or form Hashem's name. Also, no good. Reb Chanina Omar, Afilu v'yikra el Moshe, even just says the words v'yikra el Moshe, where number one you didn't recite Hashem's name, and number two you didn't go and say words with a shayach to refuah. It's just v'yikra el Moshe. That's also enough to be the loicha shalamaka that our Mishnah is referring to. What did he do wrong by saying V'yikra L'Moshe? So Rashi says he didn't say the name L'Shem Refuah El Kesover Hu L'Hinotzel B'Schus Divrei Torah Shehu Hizkir, that he wants to say this incantation, and he knows incantations usually don't work on their own. He says B'Schus, he says a few words of Torah. Oh, that's like saying Tillim and then saying the Lachash. So Lachash is going to work on the basis that I said some Tillim that I said a Pasuk. So he says, no, he can't do that. Any type of lachash. So we have a three-way machlokes what the problem is. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the problem is the rekika, and then being maskeh shem Hashem. According to Rav, the rekika together with any pasuk, it doesn't have to be the shem Hashem, even if the shem Hashem is not present. According to Rabbi Chanina, it's not necessary to have the rekika, it's not necessary to have the shem Hashem. The reason why there's a problem is because he wants the lachash to work by saying a posik from Chumash in the schus of Mai, saying a posik, oh, now let the lachash work. He can't do that. Of course,
lachash
he can go.
What, like singing the
lachash? Lachash incantation.
Whisper.
We go and say an incantation.
Abracadabra.
Lachash is less of whispering, right? Like a
lachash also is whisper. Probably a lot of these incantations were said quietly. However, the word lachash means to go and say incantation.
If I'm not mistaken, Reb Chanina was a doctor because he's the one who advised against the kick of a white donkey being fatal. So okay. It's especially like his contemporary Shmuel, his medical advice has more weight.
So how come Shmuel doesn't comment on this?
Maybe he did. Mr. Gemara didn't have
okay.
Maybe he was seeing a patient. So with the aleinu,
yes,
what's
okay.
The whole spitting thing?
Okay, so then where it comes to Shehem.
Mishtachavim lehevav
Varik. Varik is similar to the word reik,
right,
and therefore there is a custom in many communities, and this is brought, I believe, in the Sma or in the Shach. Please, Nader, if I don't forget, I'll bring it to you, show it to you tomorrow, that this was a well-established custom in many communities throughout the generations. What happened was they, in many communities, they took out that posuk. And the reason why they took it out is the censors took it out.
Right.
And therefore, it appears then that posik was thrown in because of Yoshka and because of our good friends in the various churches. They go and mispal to the Yoshka, who hasn't been able to help them very much. Anyway, so the point is that when you say the Rik, you say the Reich. However, it says that you're not supposed to do it in front of everybody. You're supposed to go and do it on the side, go and cover over your mouth. So number one, it should not be embarrassing and humiliating to the person sitting next to you or in back of you or in front of you. And number two, so that when you say the Shem Hashem, it should not relate one to the other.
If I'm not mistaken, the spittoons where people would spit into used to be in the back of the shuls. So when they want to say, oh, they're latecomers, oh, they're with the spittoons in the back.
I get you. Uh-huh. Okay.
So therefore, they would, well, it's the proper procedure where someone wants to expectorate on the head.
Spit, let's say spit.
To emit saliva.
Okay. Inject.
Inject, whatever. By Amish Dachl and Hevel Varik. Rik is similar to the word roik.
Right.
So there was a minhag in many communities to go and spit out at that point in the Aleinu.
Right.
And when they did it, they did not do it Bereish Kali in front of everybody, but they would go and try to go and cover it up by putting their hand in front of them out.
Because it
is Maus. Maus, yeah, to many other, insulting, humiliating, shameful to all the other people standing around. But I'm standing here and you're going and spitting them up, so therefore you do it kind of concealed. And number two, that you shouldn't have the problem of, if subsequently you're going to say Hashem's name in the Aleinu, it shouldn't relate to that Rikik. But believe me, I'll show it to you. If I don't forget tomorrow, I'll bring it.
It means also empty space, that there is nothing.
Rick, that, no, for sure. But right. That we're trying to find out why would there be a relationship? Why do people spit out at that
sure,
time?
I never thought it's a spitting, but I read this thing a lot. It comes in a sporadic siddur. There's always that enough, but I was always thinking that Rick is like empty space, which is quite goes along with that sentence.
Hevel v'rik, of course, does mean
empty. Nothing, it's nothing.
It's gunish mit gunish. What you're saying is correct.
Halal,
however, because it's related to the word Reich, there was a community. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Tana Rabban. We're now talking about a person who is unfortunately sick and needs this type of medical remedy on Shabbos. You're allowed to be sochen, you're allowed to go and shmir, u'mashin, you're allowed to massage b'bnei me'ayim on the stomach area on Shabbos. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly, but it has to be b'derech shinoi. Why does it have to be b'derech shinoi? Because anything that is medical related, you have potential problems on Shabbos. The potential problem is because many, many years ago, people would be mishachik or masachik samamonim. They would go and take various ingredients together and manufacture medical remedies on Shabbos itself, which was prohibited. Why? Because of the shechika, because of the grinding, because of the crushing of the various ingredients. So therefore they said, no medical remedies on Shabbos. Unless, of course, you took out a choyle mesukkah. But otherwise, a choyle should not go and take medicine, and that's why the custom is that people try to refrain from taking medicines on Shabbos if they can. So this sochem mashishin we'll see in the Gemara, another few lines, if it's b'derech shinoi, and the person is a chola, that's permissible. That's how we got into this. We just spoke about the lachash. Now this lachash in the nechoshim akravim is slightly different. You're saying an incantation to keep the nechoshim akravim away from you, to ward them off. What would be the shaila? Rashi says that perhaps using that lachash you might freeze them in their space where they are, so they're not going to come to you. So it might be there will be a chashash of tzeda, of like capturing them. Says the Gemara, no, there is no such chashash. See, if you look at the last Rashi on the right-hand side, so that they stay away, the ein bekach, and look at the top, mishum tzeda. You don't have a problem of trying to capture them, because you're not trying to capture anything, you're just trying to ward them off, and presumably they'll...
Protection,
exactly. You're also allowed to put a kli on top of your eye. Now we're talking about that a person's eye, unfortunately, is not feeling well. So he puts on, Rashi says, a kli matchis kdei lekar hero ayin. Go and take a piece of metal, a metal kli, you put it on the eye to give you a certain amount of comfort. Till now it's to cool it off. Till now it's burning hot, it's feverish. He puts this on to try to cool it down. Another pshat Rashi says is that you go and put a ring around the eye so that if there's any swelling or if there's any infection, it shouldn't spread, it should keep it in its place. This that we just said, you can take a kli, al-gabi ayin, a kli anittel b'shabbos. In other words, something which any which is not muktzah. Rashi gives examples of keys, of a cold knife, of a cold ring. You can put those on top of the eye. If you have a muktzadik kli, also that you're really not allowed to go and put even on Shabbos. Ve'in she'alim bedvar de shindalit b'shabbos. What means to go in she'alim the shindalit? So Rashi says we're talking about a situation where a person lost something. For instance, he lost an article of clothing, he lost some money, he lost his watch, whatever, and he wants to find where it is. And he's checked all up and down, back and forth, put up posters, nobody's answering him. if he figures the shindalas, they would know where it is. They would know. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why can't you do it on Shabbos?
You can do it on Chol. You can ask shindalas.
Okay, so if you wait one more moment, you'll get to that. But in the meantime, the Tanna Kamma says, you cannot do this on Shabbos. Why not? Because you're over on Mimtzei Cheftzecha V'Daber Dover, which means that your Dibur on Shabbos should not be like your Dibur during the week, especially if it involves any financial matters, talking business. Shabbos, talking business, Cholila, Shabbos, V'Tunish. I remember my grandmother, Leah Shalom, who was busy with my grandfather, Zechron Levracha, in business. So every once in a while, on a Friday night or on a Shabbos, she would say, Oi, Datashi, or whatever, what about this or that? Shabbos, and he was very, very strange. Don't talk any business or anything business related on Shabbos.
So what if you need to, let's say, find...
The car's already sold.
What if you need to find your shawl for shul? So that's a Shabbos-related issue.
What is the shade, though?
You give tzedakah to Rebbe.
Wait until Sunday. That's according to Tanakh. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, but you can't give the Africa pledge it. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, even during the week, you're not allowed to do that. Now, what's the reason why? The Gemara will tell us momentarily. Rav Huna, halachik Rabbi Yossi, that even during the week, it's awesome. The Afra Rabbi Yossi Amra, what's the reason why?
Mishum
sakana. What's the sakana? Because once you start talking to the Shindalid, they already have an opening, and they chas v'shalom, they might...
It's like downloading a virus on your computer.
Oh, boy. Oh. And then what happens is, chas v'shalom, they may come and be mazik you, and they're going to cause all types of problems. And the Mor Taka tells us a real-life story. Ki had Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, the Ivla bi'arza, he apparently spoke to a Shindalid, and the Shindalid says, now I'm going to chop him. And Ivla, he caused him to be swallowed up in an erez tree, in a cedar tree. So now Yitzchak bar Yosef is now in the trunk of the tree. And of course, he wasn't able to function in that way. V'sabalei Nisa, Baruch Hashem, because of the big schusim that Yitzchak bar Yosef had, a nes occurred, Poka Arza, the Arza split, Upaltin, he was able to save himself, Machaplay, to be able to get out of this situation. So therefore, that's the reason why. So not just Shabbos, because of Mamtzei Chavtzach V'Dabadavad, don't talk about business or anything similar to that, but even during the week, stay away, because it's a potential sakana.
So what's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma? Why is it mutter during the week then, if it's such a sakana? Why was the Tanna Kamma allowed?
He probably holds it's not also, you just should be careful.
Okay.
Not to choose your shindalas, only those that are the nice ones, the fluffy ones, the reputable ones.
Yes, it was an ancient practice for those who lost property to inquire of the shindalas, as to the whereabouts.
What you're saying is correct, which is what we said already. Look at the third, fourth line of the Rashi at the top. The Varish and Dalit, Shekin Oisin, that's what people would do, Kisha Oivdin Shemdama, when they lost something. Whether they lost money, or whether they lost their watch, their shawl, whatever. Shial Vimasish and Dalit, Vimagin Lehem, they would tell him. Fasalas Vishamishim, Sechef, Sechef, Vidabidam. Back to the Gemara. Tanna Rabban, second wide line. Sochen Mamash Vishin, Vibnei Me'ayin, Vishabiz. Like we said before, you have to make a shinoi. So what do you do? Hechi of it? What is your shinoi? So Rashi says that the custom was during the week that the first would be memashmesh, that we go and massage the body that wherever you thought that you needed this shmirach, and after they would massage it, then they would go and put the oil on and they would shmir.
Here,
no, that's what they did during the week. On Shabbos, for a chola, you can do it with a shinoi. How do you do with a shinoi? First put the shmirach, first do the tzach, the yarkach mamashmesh, and then you'll massage it after that. Well, Rabbi Yochan Omar, I have another etza, tzach umemashmesh bebasachas. You can do both at the same time. You apply the oil, and now shmir the oil and be massage all at one time. Both of those are permissible shinoyim on Shabbos, not like during the week, where typically you're mamashmesh first, and your soch second. Tanaban, nu braisa. Sorry, shemen v'sorry beyim mutarim lishol behen. Elamnei shemachazvin. What is this all about? So Rashi says, some of the shindalids, you could only ask them questions by using the medium of shemen, of oil, or of eggs. You probably don't think, well, what are you talking about? So you go down about 10, 12 lines into the Rashi, on the left-hand margin. Sorry, shemen. Yesh masish and dalit shi alin al yidei shemen v'kori luhu sorry shemen. You call these shindalids that you can only ask by using the medium of shemen. What means using the medium? We'll see in a moment. Those are called the sorry shemen. V'hainu sorry boyhan. I don't know, boin, of course, means the thumb. What does it have to do with this? Vaisalish. You want to go and call the shindalid, you go and take like a straw. Shelbe, not the shver, so he doesn't mean straw. Shver, so means the eggshell, thank you. The eggshell. The kar lehu, and you call the eggshell. Hey, ooh, shindalid, come over. And they're called the sari bay. So now, how come we don't find more people calling them and speaking to them? Yeah. It says, sorry, Shem, sorry, Bain, which are initial Bain. He says, I'll tell you why. The reason why Mechazvin says Rashi, because they tell you falsehoods, fake news. We're asking them for advice, we're asking them where I can find my lost object, and they draw you a copy and they say, go to Texas, you'll be able to find it over there. So you can see that they're Mechazvin, and that's why people began to refrain from speaking to them, and that's why you never hear about Sari Shem Vasari Bayim, because people knew that they're worthless and they didn't bother asking them. Now what means Lashon HaShemen? Lashon HaShemen should be Kli, and Lashon HaShemen should be Yad. When these Shindalas used to express their incantations, they used to do it on Shemen inside a Kli, which was inside a vessel, but they normally were not Malachish, they didn't say an incantation if the Shemen was in a Yad. And therefore, Lefichach Sochen Mishemen should be Yad, if you saw and find that somebody has shemen in his hand and he's offering it to you to go and smear on your body or whatever in your skin, you can take that. You don't have to worry. However, if you have a shemen in the kli, stay away, because you never know whether or not there may be a lachash on that shemen in the kli. And the Gemara tells us, listen, you'll hear the story and your hair will rise or raise. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta iklahu ishpiza, he came to an inn, Aisulei, and they gave among the yes, you know, when you come to an inn, a hotel nowadays,
you'll chocolate on the pillow.
Right. Chocolate on the pillow. But besides that, they also have various shampoos, and they have skin cream and all that. So Aisle Mishcha Babana, and they brought him now Mishcha Min Shemen inside a kli, presumably for him to go and use for smearing, and that's what he did. Shof, he smeared it on his body, and the Nafkan Leit Simchi Be'apei. And as a result, all types of boils and swelling, blisters came out of his face. Nofek Lishuk, he went now into the street. We don't know whether he realized that he had these blisters on his face or not. We know that he walked out on the street. Chazisa hi itza, so there was a woman that was passing by. And of course, the women knew more about Kishuv than the men did. That's why the Torah says, Mechashefa lo yisachaya. And we had the Gemara before, Mechashefa lav davka. It doesn't mean just a woman. Even a mechashef is prohibited.
But the derech of kishuv is by nashim.
Exactly. So chazisa yitza. So there was a woman that saw all these blisters and bubbles and boils on his face. Amra zikad chaimis kachazina hacha. Oh, I see the ruach of chaimis. Chaimis was the name of that shindalid that does that type of thing. And therefore, in other words, that shemen, you must have put in shemen that she put a spell on or an incantation on, and that's why it happened. Therefore, of the Le Milza, she made her own abracadabra of some sort. The Itzi and Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah. So what do we see from this? Be careful about untended.
Unsealed containers in the supermarket.
Unsealed containers of shemen in the supermarket, because you never know, there might be a shindala that put some sort of spell on it, and that could spell trouble for you. Ariel, you have a question.
Right, so originally it said avoid all oils in a vessel. How else are oils stored?
Good question. Okay, so more the obvious question, I think Rashi brings it in Chumash. It says, all of those terrible machlis that Kadosh Baruch Hu put in Mitzrayim, I'm not going to put on you. So Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, will not have any of those machlis. So what do I need a doctor? You only call up a doctor if you got a problem. If you don't have a problem, I guess they didn't have wellness visits in those days. But the point is, if he's not going to place those machlis on you, so we need a... So explain to him, Hachi Omer Byochanan, Mikrazemi Atzmai Nidrash. You have to darsh in the Pasik from itself. What do you mean from itself? Shinema. Vayoyma. Im Shemoya Tishma Kolashem Lekecha. The Pasik right before that, Kolamachle Shasamti Mitzrayim, it says, Im Shemoya Tishma Kolashem Lekecha. If you're going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, Im Tishma, then Kolamachle Shasamti Mitzrayim, Loyosim Alecha. However, however, if you are not going to listen to Kol Hashem Alekecha and you're going to sin, then awesome, unfortunately, you will be the beneficiary of some of those machlis. But nevertheless, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Alpha became. If you're going to do tshuva, Keni Hashem Refecha, I'm there, your doctor, to remove that machla that I placed upon you. So it's really up to you. If you listen to the mitzvahs, you won't have the problem. Liyosim. If you do sins, then chas v'shalom, awesome. But I'm here as your backup option to go and give you refuah.
So in the Mishnah saying, what's the framework?
With a lachash. Not just
only,
a few.
With the spitting or without the spitting?
According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's with the spitting. It's Rekika and it's Mimazkir Shem Shemayim al Harekika. The other two disagree. Halacha l'mais, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, not like the other. The lachash is prohibited.
And you're blessing someone, and you're quoting a pasuk that the person should be healed.
That's no problem. But if right after you finish that pasuk, you say a lachash, an incantation with abracadabra, and that's combined with the spitting, that's where you get into trouble. Okay?
Even medicine is not an incantation.
Medicine on contagion, okay. Depends whether you have
a
good, it talks about a regular doctor or a witch doctor. You got witch doctors too. Okay, anyway, continuing on the pasuk and anymore, Omer Rabbi Bochana, Kishchol Reb Lezer, when Reb Lezer unfortunately was very sick, sorry?
Is this Ben Horkin?
Reb Lezer and Herkimus.
That's correct. So five big Talmidim came, and Omer Lehen, and he said to them, Chima Azi Yesh Poilem, there's a terrible fury of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a divine fury, out here in the world. And specifically, said Rashi, and it's affecting me. Because that Chema, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, has been koyis olai. Kodesh Baruch Hu has been angry at me at Reb Eliezer. So, when the Talmidim heard that...
Wasn't it Chema?
Yes, that's correct. It could be that Chema Az is related. Shemuti means that he put him in Chema. From Loshen
Shammai.
That's separate. There are two pshatim why he was called Shemuti. One is because he was Talmidei Shammai. The second time is because he was Shamta. Shamta means a Chayim. Exactly right. Rabbi Say, does anybody else want to share their vast encyclopedic knowledge of the Torah and the Gemara? I didn't say that. I'm just saying we have to finish today.
I won't even whisper, okay?
Yeah, you're doing Yom Tei Lach Hashem.
Wasn't Esther put in a Chayim?
What was that? Esther
was put in the harem.
He knows that, yeah. Okay, Shkoyach. Amalehen. Chayim Azi Yesh Poilem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gets very angry when people... Yeah, exactly. So that's why Reb Lezer was, unfortunately, not well. Eschila Hin Boichen, the other Talmidim, started crying. Rabbi Kiva Masaching, Rabbi Kiva started smiling. You all will remember the Gemara in the end of Masechtas?
Makis.
What does the Gemara say over there?
So the shoal and
with the foxes. Production.
Exactly. So he started smiling. They asked why he's smiling. Okay, fine. Vaita. Omer loy, lamata masachik, why are you smiling? Omer lehem, nechad. Why are you crying? Omer loy, efshir seifa toyre shori b'tzar. Reb Lezer was a seifa toyre himself. He's shori b'tzar. He's saying there's a chema azah bo'olam, and Rashi says, Kodesh Baruch is koyis olav. Kodesh Baruch is angry at him. For like nifka, we won't cry. Omelen lekachani masachi. That's the reason why I'm so happy. Why is he happy? Kol kozman shani roya rebi she'ein yenoi machmet ve'ein pishtonoi loike ve'ein shemani mavish ve'ein dovshoni madvish amarti shemachas v'sholom kibul rebi oilomai. Rebbe had this special, not Rebbe, Reb Lezer, was so special in the sense that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't let anything go sour. Ein yenoi machmet. The wine did not turn into vinegar. Vein pishtoni loike, and the pishton didn't get ruined, didn't rot, or didn't fall apart. Vein shemani mavish, and the shemen similarly stayed intact. Vein duvshani madvish, and the dvash and the honey didn't go sour. So Marty, if all of those factors are present in a blazer's home, I said that's a terrible thing. Why is it terrible? Because shemachas v'shalom kibbutz Rabbi Yolama, and maybe gets all of his schar that normally would be mezumah l'olam haba, he's getting it here in this world, which means he's not going to have anything left, or at least it'll be greatly diminished for olam haba. But after shani roya and Rebbe b'tzar, now that I see that he's being treated like everybody else by Kodesh Baruch Hu, inflicting tzar on this world, which means that's going to go and cleanse all of his sins, and he's sameach, I'm very happy, sameach, he's going to have a beautiful olam haba. So now, Reb Lezer, hearing all of this, he says, "Omalei Akiva, klum chisartim et ha'Torah kula. Did you hear that I did any sins recently that I'm deserving of this tzar, and therefore I need the kapara and I need the cleansing of those sins? Omalei l'martana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us? There's nobody in the face of this earth that can be a perfect tzaddik, even the greatest tzaddik. Epesachet he has, so therefore that tzar will be mechaper on that chet, and then after 120, you'll have a glorious olam haba. Tana Rabbanan, kishchol Reb Lezer, nichlasu arbo zekenim levakroi, Reb Tarfon b'shuv, Reb Luzer ben Azai, Reb Akiva, and the first three spoke basically the same line. Then Reb Akiva v'yomar, toivat li yisrael mitipa shel gishonim, gishomim, you are better for Klal Yisrael than raindrops. Shetipa shel gishomim bo'ilam hazeh, we need that of course for all the tvu and for the trees and all that. That your teachings and teaching us Torah will go and not only enrich us on this world, but enrich us for the Olam Haba. Similarly, better than the sun. And gives us the heat and the warmth. For Rebbe, as a result of your Torah, we have the heat and the warmth and the light. You're better than parents. They brought you into this world and they hopefully feed you and clothe you, etc. in this world. For Rebbe, as a result of your Torah, we have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So all of them, as you see, spoke more or less in the same vein.
They're expecting to get their due.
Expect the due, that's the mutter, the tal, all of it. Very good. Nen Rabbi Kiva v'yomar, chaviv in yisurin. I see that Rabbi Lez's bitzar, you should know yisurim are good, and that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends it to his friends, so to speak, to those that Kodesh Baruch Hu really likes. Why, says Rashi? Because it will be a kapara. Shemechaprin olecha. So this is what Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Lez. It's omu lehem. So now when Rabbi Lezer heard that from Rabbi Kiva, even though Rabbi Kiva was his Talmud, but nevertheless he wanted to hear more, Amalhen Samchuni, pick me up, support me on the bed, the Eshva Dibri Akiva Talmidi, I want to hear what Akiva has to say, Sha'omar Chaviv in Yisurim. After all, he was experiencing Yisurim, he wanted to know, in which respect are they Chaviv, and are they beloved, are they something that people should look forward to? Amalhoi Akiva, zoom in Einlecha, where do you take this from? Omar, Mikrani Dorish, I'm in the Pasik. The pasuk is about Menashe. What does it say about Menashe? It's the same as Rishona Menashe b'Molchai. He was 12 years old when he began his Melucha. V'chamishim v'chamishana Malach v'Yishlaim. He was afterwards king for 55 years. And now Brother Shai or Brother Barry or somebody else will say, yeah, but 33 years was Chait and 22 years after he did Tshuva and the whole business. Okay, Mitchum, we'll get to that. But during this period of time, V'yasar Rabbi Eini Hashem, he was a bad king. Uksiv, and it says in the pasuk on the Amud Beis, V'gam Eile Mishle Shloimei Asher Hetikoi Anshe Chizkiah Melech Yehuda. We all know that the father of Menashe was none other than Chizkiah. Chizkiah Melech was one of the most righteous kings that we ever had, according to Rav Hillel. Rav Hillel holds that he was, in fact, the Mashiach. That's how great he was. And remember, we said in the Gemara before that you checked all the way from Don Viad Beersheba, and you didn't find any Amaratzim, and you didn't find even a Tinik Vitinoikis that wasn't Boki in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. So he was considered to be one of the greatest of the great. And one of the things that he did was he redacted and codified the Mishlei. Although we have Sefer Mishlei from Shlomo Melech didn't write it, but rather it was taken together by Chizkiah and his Talmidim. Asher Tikrei Anshe Chizkiah Melech Yehuda. So now, continues on Rabbi Kiva, V'Chizkiah Melech Yehuda L'chol O'ilam Kulei Limei Torah V'Menashe Benoi Laimimei Torah. Come on, use your sense. If Chizkiah Melech taught the whole Klal Yisrael Torah, didn't he certainly include his son Menashe in that Limei Torah? El Mikol Torah Shetorach Boi Mikol Omer Shel Omel Boi. Unfortunately, everything that he tried with his son in terms of trying to incentivize him to learn and to become a ben Torah and learn and Talmud Chacham, nothing helped. Ella, what helped was Yisurin. How do I know Yisurin? They didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he brought on them the generals from Melech Ashur. Vayilkedu es Menashe, and they chapt and they captured Menashe b'choichim. Choichim literally are with thorns, but it means something which is very painful. Vayasru b'nechushtoyim, and they tied him with such copper chains, like copper chains on the Mm-hmm. Brass and nechosh time.
Yeah, copper is very soft, so brass is a harder. Would be more.
What is nechosh? Nechosh, you think, is brass?
Sometimes it means brass, sometimes it means copper.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So Zion brass, copper, copper, brass. But the point is that that's how he tied him up. And they slept him all the way to Bavel. Of course, all of that was very, very painful by putting him into these types of chains and stuff. Shackles, yeah. Uksiv.
With hooks.
With hooks. Hooks goes on the choichim. The reason why choichim is really a choyach is normally a thorn or a thistle. However, the hooks are in that type of form where they're thin and they're bent over and rich. Okay, anyway, so zamet hooks. What is in chushtayim v'zoktem?
Copper fetters.
Copper fetters. Or according to Brother Barry, it shouldn't say copper, it should be
copper
brass.
And tin, so.
Oh, it could be very good. Could be an alloy. Good. Right. Any other thoughts? Anybody think it may be made out of iron instead? Uksiv, shtei vayta, ubeheitzer loy, and now with all the tsar that he is in, the word tsar with an ayin, of course, means pain. Tsar without an ayin means he's in very tight circumstances. He's tightly bound with this brass, copper, tin, iron, steel, all different types of the apparatus that makes him feel very, very uncomfortable. Now he said, you know what? Now it's time to daven. And now Menashe saw, finally, for the first time, now previously when Chizkiah was his father teaching him Torah, teaching him to be an idol and a fein and a gut and an erlecha, so gunish geholfen. However, when he gave the Yisurim with the copper, with the brass, etc., as well as with the thorn-like hooks, etc., oh, now he got religion, and now he got from again. So that's what Rabbi Kiva told him. You see, Chavivin Yisurim do a great job in terms of cleansing the person, just like Menashe became a Baal Tshuva as a result, and he finally recognized Hashem. This is a good thing, having Yisurim, because this will cleanse the soul for Olam Haba.
They tested his metal.
Tanu Rabbanan, Shloisha Bo Balila, Elohein. There were three that came with an Alila. Alila is the arts code translates it with craftiness. In other words, they didn't come with a tefillah to Rabbi Shalom, but they put together a good argument, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you know what, it's good, I'll let you through. Who are the three that came up with these crafty arguments? Kayin, Esav, Umanasha. Kayin, Dechsev, Godel Avoini Min Soy. What does that mean? Omel for Rabbi Shalom, Klum Godel Avoini, Mishishim Riboy Shasidin Lachtel Lefenecha. There's eventually going to be 600,000 Yidin that did Chatoim. They're going to be in the lowest level of Mitzrayim, the 49th level of Tumah. But you're going to take them out of Mitzrayim, and you're going to go and give them a slicha, as well as in the Midbar, the 600,000 are going to go and sin with the Masa Egel, and with the Meraglim, but eventually do your game a slicha. And me, I'm just one little guy. Can't you go and go and be mechaper on my, can't you let me atone for my sins? God, is it impossible to go and carry the sins of one guy when you can go and carry the sins of 600,000 people? So that was his crafty alila to Rabbi Yishlam. Esav dechsiv havarocha achas hilecho avi. Don't you have any brochas left in your storage room? Can't you go and take epis habrocha out? And he was successful. Because after that, the Yitzchak gave him whatever remaining brochas that he could. Menashe, what was Menashe? Metchila korel el olohus harbe. V'lopsoif korel elekei avoysav. Now the Pasuk doesn't say it clearly. However, the Gemara is being medayik by the fact that he was chilus b'nei Hashem lekav. He kana ma'od malafnei elakei avoyis of yisbal elav, and he finally said, "Now I recognize Hashem ulakim." Why did he only now recognize? Because until now he used to go and be mispal to other idols, to other elihus, and he figured that those they'll also help me out. When he realized that they were totally powerless and they're a bunch of baloney, then he finally saw religion, and now he became a religious Jew, and he started davening, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to his tefillahs, and he says, "Ah, now I see the real Kevoisim." So we see from this that Menashe originally was Koyre Lelois Arbe, and eventually he became from, and he recorded a little Kevoisim.
But he didn't get all the Mahaba.
That we're going to talk about later in our Perek in Yetzisha. And we continue Vaita in the Mishnah. Another one that doesn't get chelik on the Baba, Abishol Oimer Afa Hoyge Es Hashem Ba'Oisi Yosef. Now, it's not 100% clear what this means. It's not clear because it's a machloikis. Rashi over here says that he said the 42 letter, the 42 word name of Hashem, which you're prohibited to say, that's the Hoyge Hashem Be'Oisi Yosef, and that's the person gets, doesn't get a Chelek on Baba. But Tana, the Gemara says, we're talking about Ugvulin, means outside the Beis Hamikdash, because inside the Beis Hamikdash, they did use that name of the 42 Oisiyos, and therefore that's not a problem. It's only outside the Mikdash is a problem. Others, Yadrama, and others say that we're not talking about the 42 Shem, we're really talking about the Shem that we say every day numerous times, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the Hoyge Shem Be'Oisi Yosef means to pronounce it like the witnesses pronounce it, with the J-E-H, instead of the Shem Adnos, they pronounce it the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's what the problem is. But again, that's only Bigvul, that's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to Dichen, the Kahanim used to go and say the Shem, Taka the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Exactly. So when the Oilam heard that, they said Baruch Shem. Very good. And that's in the Beis HaMikdash and Gvul. Gvul means outside the Beis HaMikdash. What means Beloshin Oga? So Rashi has two Pshatim. First Pshat Rashi says is they said a Beloshin La'az, which means they said in a foreign tongue. Not exactly sure what that means, that they said the shame in a foreign tongue, because if they said God or anything like that, how is that being Hoyge Es HaShem? Hoyge Es HaShem normally means that you are in some way mistreating it, such as instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you say Shem Adnos. What do you say instead of God? You say God? I mean, what's... So I'm not sure what Rashi means with the saying it. Yeah,
it's nice kinuyim. There's a difference between kinuyim and... I mean, when you say the witnesses, I think it's exactly what they're describing, right? That they're actually articulating in English Hashem's name.
See, that's what you think it's referring to, J-E-H, instead of with a Yud, they're referring with a J. Kamza. Second shot, Rashi says, is the word Uga comes from the word Uga, which means a circle, and it's talking about a circle of friends that are all talking Narishkeiten and profanities and stuff like that. And to go and mention Hashem's name in such a circle, in such a club, where people are profaning and talking all types of Narishkeiten and Nivopeh and all that, that's the problem of the Hoyge Hashem Be'Oisi Yosef outside the Beis HaMikdash and or in a club where everything is Chol and not Kodesh. Getting back to our Mishnah, Mishnah says, Shloisha Malachim Arba'ah Het Yoytois, Ein Lem Chedek Ol Mabah. When it comes to the Malachim, the first one that is mentioned is Yeravim Ben Nevat, and we're going to talk a little bit about Yeravim at this point. Tan Rabban, Yeravim, how did he get the name Yeravim? Shariba Om. Riba normally means to go and live, you know, like a Roiva Venirva, but here we don't mean to live with the Om, but it means, is, says Rashi, Sharibates Es Yisrael Vishpilam. In other words, just like a Roiva in a Maisabia, you have the male that's typically on top, and therefore, in a sense, he's pushing down the Nekeva underneath. Here too, Riva Om, he pushed down Klal Yisrael by pushing them down in Madregas. Until his time, they were in a high Madrega, and he pushed them down, he was mashpil them. Dover Acher Yeravam, She'osam Riva Ba'om. He caused many fights in the nation. What was the fight? That some people said we should continue following the Rabbeinu Shalom, and then some said, no, we have this newfangled Avodah Zarah, and this Avodah Zarah, ah, what a great Avodah Zarah. So therefore you had big machloikas in Shul, should we continue davening here, or should we move to the church, etc. Dover Acher Yeravam, She'osam Riva Ben Yisrael Abim Sheva Shamay. It's not that he made a Meriva between one Jew and the other, but he made a meriva between a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel and Klal Yisrael, because now Klal Yisrael is sinning. So therefore the word Yeravam is two words together, the Yarev Meloshen Meriva, fighting, Riv, and then Om is the folk. So it's either Meriva Ba'om among the folk, or it means between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the folk. And then it says Yeravam Ben Nevat. Ben Nevat Ben Shenibet V'loy Ra'ah. Nibet V'loy Ra'ah means that he actually saw it, but he didn't see it. How can you see something and not see it? It means that you saw it with your own eyes, but it didn't leave an impression that should make any difference to you. Yeah, you saw it, but you didn't realize what was going on. So that type of thing is, and Limor is going to give examples of that. A person that sees something, but he doesn't really understand what he is seeing, so it doesn't make an impression on him to make any effect. So Limor will explain, Ben Shini V'Leira, Tana, Hu Nibet, Hu Micha, I'm sorry, Hu Nevat, Hu Micha, Hu Sheva ben Bichri. Yeravam ben Nevat is really, or at least Nevat, the father of Yeravam, he's the same one as Micha. Micha is the one that was inside the building, we'll see in a moment, and then Sheva ben Bichri, who was one of those that participated in the revolt against David HaMelech.
Cursed
David. Is Nevot Shenibit Vleiro, that we just said that now, that he saw, but he didn't really understand what he was seeing. Micha Shenismachmech Bebinyan. That's the story of when the so some of those they put inside the building in case there was a shortage of bricks. So they put Jewish babies in the building,
yep,
and they plastered it. And then, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was very upset. And as we'll see in the Gemara, he complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu said, those neshamas of those babies that are inside the wall, you can leave them because, unfortunately, they are destined to be reshoyed. We'll talk about that shortly. V'leirah Micha, so Niva V'leirah, that's one. Number two, Nevat was Michash, and it's Machav Binyan. He was kvetched and crushed into the building. Well, Mashmo, what his real name was, Sheva ben Bichri Shemoi, the one that revolted against David HaMelech, cursed, etc. Tanuban, Shloisha Nivtu V'leiro. Three people saw, but they didn't really understand what they saw. Elohein Nevat, Achitoifel, Vitztagnini Pare. Nevat, Ro'a Eishi Yoitzes Me'amosai. He saw a fire coming out of his Amma down below from his Eiver. Husavar, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he had a lot of fever and that's why it was hot. Husavar, iu molech. He assumed that that showed that he is going to be a melech. That fire in his mokkaim erva down below shows that he's going to be a zohar, a leader, a melech, and he's going to be a groysa knacker. Velohi, but it turns out, nibet veloi ro'o, because it was Yerovam who denofik minei. It wasn't him, Nevat, that became the king. It was Yerovam that became the king at the time of Yerovam and Rechovam after Shlomo HaMelech. So that was the Nibet V'lei Ra. Achitoifel Ra Tzeras, Shezor Chalei Ala Masai. Same type of thing, not a fever, but rather a Tzeras, that the leprosy on his Amma. Hu Sovar Iu Malach, he thought that he's going to be Melech. Now, I can understand the fire of leadership.
Right.
Why would the Tzeras be a Simin? So one of the Mefarshim says, because just like a Metzoira, he has to be Chutz L'machne, so he's very unique, very special.
Yeah, special.
He can't go and mix with the regular folk. He has to be Chutz L'machne Meshavai. Therefore, he says, oh, that's a sim that I'm going to be in the Melech, that I'm also going to be unique and special and not mix with the common folk, because I'm going to be in the palace. Velohi, again, he was the one that, what he saw, he taka saw, but he didn't fully understand it. It was Basheva Bitoi, with the Nafkamino, Shloime. It was Basheva that from him afterwards came at Shloime Melech. So that's the one that's going to be ultimately the king. Not Achitoifel, but the Einikel. It's Tagnine Paroi. What was that? That's very famous. Rashi brings to the Chumash. Tiyom Reb Chom, Reb Chanina, Maitach Sivs, the Pasik, Heim Mei Mariva, Heim Shiro Atnine Paroi, the Tau. What does that mean? Tagnine Paroi means the advisors were also astrologers, and they were able to read the various astrology signs. So what did they do? What was their mistake? They looked at their crystal ball, and they saw in the future that the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, he's going to be hit or
afflicted,
very good, in the water. And therefore they said, Omar, and that's why Paroi, based on their advice, said, since we are assuming that that Mashiach of Yisrael is going to be a male, throw all the children, all the baby males that are born, throw them into yours so they should all die. The Hengla Yodo, however, in the Paroi, although they saw it, and it's taka true, the Moshin Shri Soba Maimuloike, but the real truth was, shall this give Maimariva Loike? Years later, by the Maimariva, when Moshe Rabbeinu went and hit the rock instead of talking to the rock, etc.
Interesting, Huloka, he not only did he hit the rock,
and then he received the mockers. Mida kenegad mida. Very good. Umenolan delay osi the almad yasi. How do we know the Yerovam ben Nevat doesn't get a chevek on the babad? The chesiv is in the pasuk. V'hiv debav v'dover azel lechatas beis Yerovam. This thing was the chet of beis Yerovam. Ulahakid ulahashmin me'al pnei adama. Now, what is this thing? This dover azel lechatas. This is talking about the two things that he put up. That is the two egels. One in the Don, one in Beersheba, one in the north, one in the south, and he says, don't go anymore to Oyler Regal in Yerushalayim, rather be Oyler Regal or be Yoder Regal to my two Agolim. So that's why, Lahakhid Ulahashmid. What does that mean? Lahakhid Ulahashmid Ulahashmid Oyler Mubba. So that's the Makar that he doesn't have a Chedek Oyler Mubba. Why did he become Melech? It's such a low life that he put up these two eagles and avoided Zara. How is he Zaych the Malchus? Because he gave Teichacha to Shloime Melech, And we'll see in a moment what that teichacha was, and the Gemara considers that teichacha to be a good, worthy teichacha, so therefore he gets a shtichel schus, and he became melech. If he had takadu schusim, why was he punished? He doesn't even get a chedek l'maba. Nishachichai berabim, because he went and embarrassed him in public. You can't be mal b'nei chaveiroi berabim. Shnema says in the pasuk, "Zeh adavah sheherim yad memelech shloimoi." He went and raised his hand. Memelech shloimoi, bona es hamiloi. Rashi says hamiloi is some sort of tower, and sogar es peretz ir David aviv. And he also closed up the peretz, any type of pirtza in the wall of the ir David of his father. In other words, there were breaches in the wall, and he went and closed them all up. So what's wrong with that? I mean, why would Shlomo Melech be criticized for being soger as Peretz Ir David? Amaloi, so he said, this is Yeravam speaking now to Shlomo Melech, and he said, David Avicha, your father, David Melech, Peretz Pirtzis B'chayme, Kedei Shiyalu Yisrael L'Regel. He specially made openings in the wall so it would be easier for people to be Oyle Regel. They all had to go single file through the door, you know, you could wait quite a while.
Wait till Shavuos to get there for your Korban Pesach.
Very good. So, well, maybe at least to Lag B'Omer. So what did he do? He made a lot of pirtzes here and there and everywhere so you can have, you know, 10 people coming in at the same time in these different pirtzes. And why did Shlomo Melech close them up? Says the Gemara, V'atagadart oisam k'dei lasis and garia lebas parei. You wanted to go and give a present to your wife, the Bas Paroi. How would you give a present? By collecting tolls, by collecting congestion fees.
Yes.
And so therefore, every one of these places, you close them up, so they would all have to go through the main gate, and therefore, the main gate, oh no, pay $20 toll for going through.
One in each door.
I guess that would be too expensive, the overhead to have
all these people. All the toll booth collectors.
Exactly. So then we have one toll booth in there, in the major opening in Yerushalayim, and that's where you collect all the tolls, and he gave it as a present for Bas Parei. So that was his teichacha, and that's why he had the schus that he became afterwards king. Umay v'zeh shahirim yad v'melech, what's that lashon in the pasuk that he uplifted his hand against the king? Amar Rav Nachman shecholat tefillin b'fanav. So what's the problem of doing chalitza tefillin b'fanav? So Rashi has a couple of pshatim. Pshat number one is pashut, that he was taking off or putting on his tefillin shel yad, and as he was doing it, he raised his hand high. He was twisting the ritzuas around the hand. Mm-hmm. So by raising his hand high in front of the melech, it looked quite threatening. Mm-hmm. So that was the ashiyarim rod. Another pshat Rashi says is that whenever he put the tefillin shel roish on, he had to at least for a moment take off his hat or take off his yarmulke as he's putting the tefillin on. And so therefore that's very disrespectful to the king to do that in front of his face. Or for that matter, just chalitzas tefillin. You don't have to do it in front of the person. Turn your back and go and turn around. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be directly in front. Putting it on, taking it off is considered to be somewhat of a bizoyan to do it in front of the king. And therefore, you should do it on the side, not right in front of him. If you look at the couple of pshatim here in the Rashi. Rashi saw shecholif tefillin b'fanav. It's on the left-hand margin, about 15 lines before the end. Shahi l'lefanais l'tzad achi. He should have turned in the other direction. Ne'emes malchusai. Have a little reverence, have a little respect for the king. In front of the king, you start doing, go to the side. Turn around. Falach l'shaloi b'fanav. Lishnachrena cholif tefillin b'fanav. Lovoi l'hasus kenegdim chazaka. The way it looked as if he was going to scare him or trying to warn him or intimidate him by picking up his hands whilst he's doing the chalitza tefillin. Chol tefillin, next Rashi. Einochel liyoyz begili roish lefnei hamelech. When you're putting on the tefillin, taking them off, you have to take your yarmulke off, even if it's a split second. Gili roish lefnei hamelech. To show respect to the king, you got to go and put your hat on, not to take it off. V'hu hischel b'mered b'kach l'haris v'loy maloy sh'ein noyig kimelech. And that started the merida to show, you're not a king, I don't really treat you as a king, and therefore that he did some humiliating acts in front of him. Anyway, I was once in a courtroom many, many years ago. I typically was not a litigator, but every once in a while I had to be sent into court, and it was somewhere out in the Midwest, at Weiss Yishvi, and the judge was a terrible anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in the courtroom, I took off my hat, but it was wearing my yarmulke. Mm-hmm. The judge didn't like the fact that it was wearing a yarmulke, mm-hmm. but he didn't say anything. He was probably worried about what they're going to write about him in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, I'm finished. I'm about to leave. So I took my hat from the seat, and I put it on my head, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to walk out. And then the judge, no, in this courtroom, you know, that's disrespectful to the judge. You're supposed to take your hat off. I'm leaving the court.
I think I had it worse.
You had it worse.
I brought bail for someone, right. Jewish activist, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting in the back of the courtroom. It's probably 200 feet away from the judge. Mm-hmm. I'm just wearing my yarmulke, black mm-hmm. yarmulke there. And before he starts anything, he said, take your hat off mm-hmm. in his courtroom. Yeah. And I'm looking around. Everyone's looking around. There's only a few of us in the back rows. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And someone says, you. I said, what hat? And I said, okay, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So the defense attorney was trying to explain. He didn't want to hear it. So I decided to leave the courtroom because I'll be arrested.
Right. Contempt.
It ended up in the Jewish press on page 2.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
They didn't apologize to me. Judge Vraka yeah. did not apologize. But he apologized to the Commission on Public
Judicial
Law.
Yeah.
But it made the second page of the New York Times. So it sounded like
Jewish
I
press.
Was
Jewish
the
press.
I was
Jewish
the one
press
who was
your,
arrested.
Jewish press
in the same address. Yeah.
So what happened to you? So you were
yes,
so the judge.
Like I was, didn't mention the quote criminal. I was the.
Anyway, so what I did was, I had the guts, which I didn't. I was going to say to him, Your Honor, in our religion, when you see someone uh-huh. who is a person of dignity, and you cover your head to show awe and reverence, but I figured he'd go and throw me out, and he'd
exactly.
curse me. So I didn't want to go. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I took off the hat, got to the door, and then I left, and put the hat on after I left the school. But that's what I want to go and tell him, based on our Chazal, wearing a hat is a sign of reverence and respect, not a sign of disrespect. Okay. Whether he would accept it or not, vice versa.
And we feel so respected because you're wearing a yarmulke and a hat.
Can you imagine? Both of them. Very good. Anyway, Zokti Gemara
Vaiter.
Rav Nachman. Gassus Rosh Ohi by Biravam, Tardosim and Oilam. That Gassus means that arrogance that he had that took him away from the world. In other words, from Oilam Abba. Shenema Yema Yeravam, Beliboy, Ata Toshiva Mamloch al Beis David. Yalo Amazel Lasis Vochem Bebeis Hashem Yerushalayim. Veshav Leiv Ha'amazeh El Adyaneim El Rechavim Melech Yehuda Baharaguni Veshavu El Rechavim Melech Yehuda. What is all of this about? So as we're going to see in the Gemara in another moment, he, Yerovam, is now suggesting that eventually he and Rechavim are going to be sitting together in the Azara, and Rechavim won't have a problem with sitting in the Azara because Ein Yeshiva Bazara El Malchei. Usually it says Beis David, here it says Malchei Beis Yehuda, and he says I'm not from the Malchei Beis Yehuda or the Malchei Beis David, and therefore since there's no Yeshiva Bazara, they may go and kill me, and then they're going to follow Rechavim, yeah. and they're going to take him as their king, and so therefore yeah. he was very upset about that. So Yom Yeravim, believer, Yeravim said to himself, "After Toshav Mamlocha, the Beis David, you know what's going to happen. The Malucha is going to return to Beis David. Im Yalo Amazeh, Lasses Vachem Beis Hashem. If they're going to come up to do their Zvachem, their Kabbonis at the times of the Oyla Regel, the Beis Hashem in the Azara, B'Yushalayim, Vishav Leiv Ha'Am, Vishav Leiv Ha'Amazeh El Adineim, and their hearts are going to return to their Adonim Nedar Tzurbay Nishlalem. You know what's going to happen. They're going to return." Not only to Hashem, but they're going to return to Rechavim Melech Yehuda, who's from the Malacha of based from the Malucha based up. Varaguni, they're going to go and kill me. B'shavah Rechavim Melech Yehuda, after I pass away, they're all going to go and be in Rechavim's camp. Omar, he said about himself, Gemiri, we have a klal. Te'en Yeshiva Zer L'Malchei Beis Yehuda Mufad. And since I'm not part of the Malchei Beis Yehuda, Kim Nechazel Le Rechavim De Yosef, they're going to see the Rechavim is sitting down. Because he is Malchei Beis Yehuda. I'm going to be standing. This is his Melech. That's Rechavim. And this must be his servant. It must be his assistant. If I'm going to sit down together with Rechavim, they're going to go and say, oh, you're claiming the Malchus for yourself. Because only a Melech is allowed to sit in Ezra. The colony, they're going to go and kill me. And Ba'azul Basrei, maybe they kill me, but they're going to go after Rechavim. Miyad Vayivot HaMelech, he went and Chapten eight, so we'll see what that eight was in a moment. V'yashnei eglizov, he made the two agolim, v'yirma leim, rav lechem v'yaluyish yishlaim. I don't want to have this problem anymore of potentially sitting in the Azara, standing in the Azara, and therefore, don't go to the Azara, don't go to Yishlaim.
The whole thing.
So therefore, or not Beshev, and done. So he went and put the two, not done Beshev, but it's done and Beisel. He put up the two Agolim, those two places. And he says, don't go up to Yishlaim anymore, just come to my Agolim. Pray Gemara says in the beginning, possibly Yivoyet Samalach. What is that by Yivoyet? My view, it's Amr Yehuda. Shahuishe v'rosha eitzel tzaddik. That he filled up the Azorah with a whole bunch of people, Rishoyim and Tzadikim, one after the other. One, here's a Rosh, here's a Tzadik, here's a Rosh, here's a Tzadik. Omlehu, and he said, Chasmisu al kol de avinu, are you willing to go and sign that you're in agreement with everything that I do? In other words, he wanted to have a kol kaire signed by a lot of people. And therefore, he asked them, are you willing to go and sign the kol de avinu? Omrelay, they said, hey, yeah, we're willing to. Omlehu, Malka bin al Mahavi, I want to become the next king. No problem, it's okay with us. So whatever I tell you, are you going to do? Yes, we'll do it. And now we ask him, even to go and serve Avodah Zarah. Tzadik, the tzadik of the two, the tzadik and the Rosh, the tzadik says, I'm not going to go and sign a piece of paper that we're going to listen to you to do Avodah Zarah. Amalei Rosh, the tzaddik, says Rosh was sitting next to me. He said, "Sokataita the Gavra ki Yerovim." After all, Yerovim is such a great leader. We're going to see him in Gemara Beachim tomorrow. He's a great Talmud Chacham. He's going to do Avodah Zarah. Element Sininu Hu de Kaboy. He's just testing us. Ikabli Sulam Emre. If you're going to go me Makabel, whatever he says, but he's not going to do Avodah. Come on, don't be kidding yourself. And so therefore, that's how he was able to vayivoyitz to give the chenetz that everybody should go and support him. Vafachia Hashiloini, who was a great man, I believe, is a Novi. He also made that same mistake, v'chosam, because he assumed, like the Rosh said, he's never going to go and say, and therefore he signed the document showing that we all agree and we all follow you. And then he was able to go and solicit tzedakah everywhere, showing this kol kaira that everybody says he's great and wonderful. To be continued tomorrow, Mi'at Shem, have a wonderful day.